Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Thanks, Bev. Good morning. All the good people are here this morning. Wow, what a morning. It's been so special. Thank you to everyone this morning. Patterson, that was awesome, mate. And trumpet from the back. And just to take that moment, Matt, I don't know where Matt's gone, multitasking. But just a beautiful sense of honoring sacrifice. And that's what so much of our world forgets at times. And Anzac Day is a great time to do that. But let's just switch gears a little bit. I've got around 20, 25 minutes or so just to preach a word that's on my heart around life's busyness and life's chaos and the things that we find. And I want you to think about you've ever had. Just think of a day where you just was so full, it was so packed that you didn't even get to bed, you know, until 2 o'clock in the morning or something. And you know those days? Maybe it's an everyday experience for you. Maybe you've just been through a season of that, or maybe you remember those times of just extreme pressure and busyness. Well, I'm going to walk you through a day that was like this for Jesus. Jesus, though he was God, walked life as a human, okay? So he put himself into human limitations. He wore skin like we did. So he's not moving in a power that's sort of, you know, automatic. This is the mystery of Jesus, is that he is completely human, 100% human. And he models how we can draw the same strength that he drew for our lives. But let's come with me to Matthew 14. Here's the context of this whole passage. I'm going to try and run through this passage and then draw some things out there. Matthew 14 starts with the death, or the previous passage is the death of John the Baptist. That's Jesus' cousin, a really close ministry friend of Jesus, someone who Jesus respects incredibly. Now, he dies. He's actually killed in a really cruel manner. It's almost a party trick. It's a horrible death. He gets beheaded and his head is presented on a platter. And what's devastating about that is that Jesus hears about that. And as a person, he's moved, obviously. His friend, his cousin, close ministry, confidant. And so you can imagine that really bad news. It's like, oh. And this is what happened to Jesus in verse 13 of Matthew 14. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. We'll talk about that for a second. He withdrew. We all need those times where we just, oh, that's big news, you know. Wow, that just hit me. Ooh. Those times when you receive some news or something happens and you need to take a step back. This is what Jesus is doing. Though he's God, he gets it, he understands what's going on, he's still humanly incredibly involved. And so he withdraws, and it says here, in a boat to a desolate place. Now, it means he got into a boat and he went across the lake. Now, this word desolate place comes up a lot in scriptures. Desolate, it can mean lonely, it can mean wilderness, it can be just alone. So he's going, he jumps into his boat, paddles across the lake, and he's looking for time out. I need to process, I need to pray, I need to experience that time. And you see this pattern so often in Jesus' life. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. So Jesus escapes across the lake, but somebody notices there's spies out there. Hey, like there's the Jesus watchers. They're sitting by his boat. His boat takes off. He goes, hey, quick. And suddenly the Facebook lights up. This is where Jesus' next location. Social media goes crazy. And they tell everybody, hey, no, they don't telephone. They just, I don't know. The message gets out there, first century style. And before Jesus can get across the lake, the crowds have run around the lake to the other side and are waiting for him. So here's Jesus, exhausted, needing perspective, needing time out with God, and he's coming into a complete chaotic situation. It's not just people coming to listen to him. It's people of all kinds of sickness, diseases, illnesses, oppression, and they're all, because they've seen what Jesus does, and they're just waiting for him. Now, if that was me, I reckon I'd stay in my boat and turn around and just paddle the other way. I don't know about you. Like, I'm looking. He says, I'm looking for a place. I need time out, but not Jesus. And it says, we won't go into the whole every passage, but it says, when he saw the crowds, he had great compassion for them. And he started healing them, and he started teaching them. Deliver his great all-day message. And that's the context, thanks, Bev, for the feeding of the 5,000. It's like all day. Jesus actually come away not to feed 5,000. He's come away to grieve. But there's these people. And that just says, it says 5,000 men. It's just the way they used to count people, you know, plus women, plus children. I don't know, 10,000 plus. That's a lot of people. Healing, ministry, teaching. You would be exhausted at the end of the day. And so when his disciples come and say, Jesus, it's time. The people are hungry. We should send them home. He goes, you feed them. And they go, 10,000 denarii wouldn't be enough. Sorry, Jesus. And that's the context of this incredible miracle. Even exhausted, even weary, you know, trying to come to terms with his death. So he feeds them in this incredible thing. And then, right, then what he does, he dismisses his disciples. Right? He's in the 12. He says, all right, you go and I'll dismiss the crowd. Now, that's unusual. So then he says, all right, 10,000 people, you can go now. We're done. What does he do next? Let's look at verse 32. Sorry, at verse 23 it is. After he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. You see, he's still looking for time. He's still searching out his lonely place. I mean, I don't know how long he's been awake for. That's a massive day. Now, how do you recover after a massive day? A big speaking engagement. How do you? He says, he sends everyone away and I'm going up a mountain to pray. He says, when evening came, he was there alone. Finally. And I want you to see all year we are just asking these three questions. What do these passages say about Jesus? That's the first thing. First thing, it tells me that he's looking, he needs his connection with God. He longs for his time with his Father. And he withdraws to lonely places, to desolate places, to wilderness places in order to get that. He needs it. But then there's more. As he's up there, he feels the wind pick up. And he casts his eye over the lake. And he remembers his friends that they're going back across the lake. I read, this is not quite exactly in the scriptures, but I reckon he's going, I reckon I should just go and check on them. So he runs down the mountain and walks on the water. Across the lake, just because he can, I don't know. And there he is in the boat, you know, the disciples paddling and wind and waves and storms. And, you know, you probably read this passage. I won't go into too much. Peter jumps out. Is that going to do it? But when they jump in, all the wind and the waves stop. And he just helps his friends. And then when he gets back on the other side of the lake, guess who's there to wait? More people. All hungry and healing. It's probably daylight by now. I just find this, that's just one chapter. That's just Matthew 14. I find it incredible. I find Jesus' passion and love for his people amazing. And I find his stamina incredible. But when I look at what is the source of his stamina, it's his lonely places. It's his time out with God. It's his times of prayer and just reflection and finding that space. So what do we do? What does our society do when we're exhausted? What do we turn to? You know, is it coffee? Is that what sustains us? A bottle of wine? Is it just friends, or is it just Netflix? Or, you know, what is it that we kind of crash to? For Jesus, it was seeking out Father. I find that incredible. And then that second question is, well, if Jesus was doing it, how can we change our life to copy him, to follow him? What would that mean for us? And that's what I want to spend some time on. There's another example, of course. You know, if you look at Mark 1, a different context, but the same thing happens. All these people are coming to him at sundown, sick people, various diseases cast out. So he said this big day, and then verse 35, rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Different context, same thing, you see? And there's numbers of these patterns in the Gospels as we read through them. It has to make us think. If Jesus did that, then what does that mean for us? And if you're serious about your faith, and if you're serious about changing both your own world and the world around you, this is a secret. This is a real secret to life. And what's beautiful about just finding out lonely places is it's not difficult. It doesn't require lots of knowledge. It doesn't require lots of, effort, really. It just requires some time. It doesn't require a formula of how to pray. It doesn't mean you have to memorize Bible things, or it doesn't mean you even have to fast. Because I think people are afraid of, what would I do if I spent extended times with God? Like, what's going to happen? So I got a few things that I do that helps me. One thing that I do is make it a lonely place. That doesn't admit I'm always up a mountain somewhere, but sometimes I am. I have a favorite spot that I go to on the back of Mount Panorama that nobody knows about. And it's beautiful. It's amazing. No one goes. You have to kind of climb over a gate to get in there. But there's, surprisingly, no one there but a few kangaroos. And there's this beautiful big walking track where they turn into the campsite when the campers are up there. And I see all over the back of Bathurst and back up to Orange and over to Perthville. And that's my lonely place, and I love it. And I spend time and I walk, because often it's cold. It's a good tip. And often I walk because if I lie down or something, I just sleep. So I find praying and walking really helpful. But it doesn't have to be up a mountain. Could just be in your room. Where's your favorite room in the house? Where's the spot where you can just sit, grab a coffee, and be with Jesus? I find early mornings good. I find I just need to. But, you know, whatever context works, put a sign on the door saying out of action, or recording studio. Some little light that says, don't bother me, kids, person I live with, I'm not here. Turn off your phone. In fact, leave your phone out. And just find a space. So it's a practical element of this, of just finding that element with Jesus. So my experience, as I've done this, as I've fed on this space, there's lots of things that happen for me in the space. And I see these a lot in the scriptures, especially in the life of David. Now, David is Old Testament, but David, I don't know. Somehow David knew Jesus more than any of the Old Testament people. Somehow David had a beautiful heart that's expressed in the Psalms. He wrote most of the Psalms. And as you read through this, you see him wrestling and looking for that space. And I think there's about seven things. There's way more probably. But there's seven things that I find when I'm in that space with God alone. And once I've kind of zoned in, which takes a while, once I've found God, and sometimes I start with a psalm, I just open a psalm. Sometimes I start with a verse that's on my mind, and just sometimes I start with thanksgiving, just like Bev this morning. Just something happens when you start thanking and praising God. And you find yourself just with God. See, it's like being with your best friend. You don't even have to talk half the time. And so often I find that the less I talk, the better it is. It's just me and God. And in that space, I feel things. In that space, I receive things. And most of it's nonverbal. There's no massive voice from heaven or lightning bolts, but a real sense of his fatherhood and things that he brings me. Like the first one here is provision. Just like we've seen in the feeding of 5,000 that Bev went through. There's not a lack in the presence of God. In Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When you know the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. When you're in the presence, in your lonely place with God the Father, there's no lack. And I find all the anxieties around finances and pressures of those things. They're just... Suddenly here I am with the creator of the universe, just with him. And he's got resources, I'm telling you. There's no lack. In his presence, you know provision. And if you doubt his provision, I'm telling you, your secret is to get into his presence, to find a lonely place with God, offload and receive. It's a transaction that happens there. The second thing I find is joy and pleasure. Now, this is strange, you know. I'm a pretty melancholic kind of guy, actually. And I find that I need a space to lighten my mood most of the time. I'm not walking around with a smile on my face most of the time. Most of the time I'm reflective. If everyone's like that, it'd be pretty dull. Thankfully, we've got some Nankaras around. Lighten us up a little. But what I find is that when I'm in the presence of God, there's joy. This is the thing that brings me joy. Look at this, Psalm 16:11. This is David. He says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forever." You need joy? I tell you, this is where you find it. There's some good comedies on TV. Not really. Not in our day and age. Nothing like late 80s comedy or British humor or Monty Python or something. But I'm talking about real joy. I'm talking about joy that transcends circumstances. I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about something on the inside that bubbles away, that regardless of no matter what's going on, you've got joy because you've been in the presence of God. That's how it works. Greater than any person who brings joy, any Nankara, they bring joy, but I'm telling you, presence of God brings joy. And pleasure. There's no greater pleasure than being in the presence of God. You will find joy and pleasure. Pleasure not just about things, but you feel God's pleasure over you. When was the last time you experienced God's pleasure over your life? Most people I know go, not me, I'm not good enough to. See, God delights in his children. God loves his people. And there's nothing, like you picture grandparents, see any new grandparents here? I've seen the photos of the new grandparent, captivated by grandchild, you know. That's joy. That's what it's like when we come in the presence of God. Susan's here. Billy's here. Find that joy. Thirdly, find freedom from fear. Look at this scripture in 1 John 4:18. Jesus, there's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. When you come into the presence of God, fear drops away. You have to let it drop away. But I find there's fears, there's anxieties, there's pressures. But with Jesus, there's complete freedom from fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. And what have we got to worry about punishment for? Jesus has dealt with that. So when I find I'm in the presence of God in my lonely place, it's like all these fears, anxieties, regrets, things I've done or haven't done or whatever I'm messing with my head with, it's like, take them, Lord. I say, there's no fear in love, God. So right now, come and help me. As I was praying into this, I felt like there's someone here tonight, this morning, that you're filled with fear. And that today, as we pray at the end, you're going to be released from fear because perfect love casts out fear. If you feel like your life is riddled with fear or you can't deal with that fear, I tell you, being in the presence of God will help that. We're going to pray in a moment. Peace, number 4 of 7. Peace. Peace is not just the absence of worry and anxiety, but the presence of someone who can deal with that worry and anxiety. That's what peace is. In fact, in Philippians 4, Paul writes, he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's an awesome verse. As you come near to God, offload, request all these things that are burdening you down, and guess what's going to come? The peace of God. It will sit in your heart. It'll sit in your mind and it'll guard you and you'll experience fresh peace. And then I get contented. Contentment. It's not a word we hear much in our world. In our world, we hear more, more, more. Investment, return, pressure. But in Jesus, I see contentment. I see this scripture here that David describes. He says, I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. It's poetic language, but he's saying just like a child who's been weaned is just resting with its mother. That's how I'm resting with God, contented. No anxieties about things to attain, things to do, things to be, to buy. We live in the world of never enough influence or social media pressures of likes, or marks or grades or knowledge, you know, never enough. There's never enough possessions. There's never enough. The comparison game, how am I going in life compared to this person who's my stage in life? Just get rid of all that. Contentment. I reckon that's heaven. Can you imagine being in a place where there's no desire for more? But you've got everything. Find that in the presence of God, in your lonely place. Perspective. There's so many things here. We're going to finish in a sec. We get perspective. We realize what's really important about life. And lastly, strength. Because you have to re-enter. Jesus re-entered his world prematurely a few times. I'm sure he would have liked to stay all night on the mountain with God, but the wind was blowing or the crowds were calling. It's like, okay, here we go again. And sometimes re-entry into the normal world is difficult. And sometimes you've got to face the crowds that are coming at you with demands and healing and teach me and whatever your context is. But what Jesus faced that with was strength. David found the same. He says, you light my lamp. He says, verse 29 of Psalm 18, for by you I can run against a troop. Like it's a military term. By Jesus, I reckon solo I could go and defeat this whole troop. By you, I reckon I could jump over that wall. You know, it's talking about getting into some kind of castle. He says, but in your strength, I can do all these things. Jesus modeled that. Strength to keep going in life. Strength to keep going in God. strength to have energy for what you need. I tell you, you will find resource, strength in your lonely place with God. So you can reface whatever it is that's behind that door when you open it. You can face it with strength and courage and conviction. That's what Jesus did. So let me invite you, just as we finish. Why don't you close your eyes for a moment? In Mark 6, Jesus says, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. Come away. Come away. Can you imagine right now just coming away with Jesus? Come away. Come away from pressure, anxiety, relentless world that we live in. What's going to fuel your soul is by coming away with Jesus. Experience his touch. Experience all these things I've talked about. It's going to change you. It's going to make you a nicer person. It's going to make you a better husband or wife or kid or daughter or sister or brother. It's going to make you a better human being. Because inside of you is this source of life. But your battery is going to go flat. You keep having to recharge. If you've never really had a really good overnight charge or a long, deep cycle, then you're going to be running out. But if you get connected, have a rhythm of daily and perhaps an extended time weekly or monthly, or maybe a yearly retreat with God somewhere, just set it into your rhythm, you will find new strength come into your world, strength to face it, strength to do the distance that God's calling you to do. So just look at us for hands or anything, but in your heart, just respond to Christ. His invitation is simply come away. Come away with me to a lonely place. Spend time with him, quality time, extended time. And just try it. Just try it. So Lord Jesus, each person here, would you bless them? Would you help them to find you in that space? Would you make it easy for them? Would you help them to navigate time and place? And would you fill them with all these things and more? In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.